Welcome to Energy Matters, where we explore alternative health in the Pioneer Valley. I'm your host, Caroline Rutterman, and I'm a Reiki professional and intuitive in Northampton, Massachusetts. For the past 9 years, I've been teaching people how to use their intuition and helping them reduce stress and anxiety. Together, we'll talk with other practitioners and learn how they bring health and healing to the Pioneer Valley. Let's do this. Welcome, welcome, everyone. You are listening to Energy Matters, and I am your host, Caroline Rutterman. And today, we have a great show for you. Laura Campagna is here, and she is a return guest, which means that it went great the last time, and we want more. So welcome, Laura.
Thank you. So nice to be here, Caroline.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we're going to chat. We're going to focus in on tarot today.
Yeah.
Because the last time that you were here, we talked about the range of things that you offer, which is the astrology, the healing work that you do, as well as the tarot. And I really wanted to focus on the tarot and the cards and kind of explore that. I don't know what it is. I really wanted to dig deep around that work.
Beautiful.
And I know that you're really talented in all those facets. So we're going to do a deep dive today.
I can't wait.
Me too. All right. So let's talk about what we're doing today. Tell us what's going on.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me back. So I was able to come on last time and talk about my business, The Wednesday Witch, and I am...
Such a great name.
Oh, thank you. So I am a practicing witch, and I offer astrology, tarot, and energy healing. I'm primarily based out of Boston, but I also work in the Pioneer Valley, and I come out here once a month, every 6 weeks, and see clients, and sometimes get to hang out with your lovely self, which is so nice. And I also write astrology posts on Instagram if people like daily astro weather forecast.
And we do.
Yeah, it's fun. People are always like, what is happening? When I randomly bump into them and I'm like, oh, don't worry. Just Venus in a square with Uranus. That's why you cried and yelled at someone today.
Oh.
It's such a relief for folks to know there's a reason, you know?
Yeah, there's something pulling at you.
Yeah, exactly. Grabbing you. And I also do a monthly newsletter. And the newsletter talks about astrology and the Wiccan Sabbats, and this is the month of March, so we have the spring equinox coming up. And
spring.
Yay. I hear people say a lot, winter is so long. And I just want to say, it's not. Technically, it's just the exact same length as all the other seasons. They all just get 3 months, folks. You get 3 astrological signs
for each one.
No one is longer or shorter. But I think what people are saying is that cold is hard on their bodies.
So, and their minds and their emotions.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Yeah, the body just being where it comes in, and then it affects all the other planes of existence and experiences of reality. But so in my newsletter, I usually offer rituals to mark the seasons because I find that those are so helpful in people being able to kind of move through time with more mindfulness and more appreciation of the subtlety of nature, because Gaia is so magnificent and she's always changing. And when you really start to pay attention and say, okay, what is the quality of Capricorn season? You know, what's the that initiates at the winter solstice in late December around the 21st? And then what's the quality of Aquarius season? That's, you know, the middle and the strongest part of winter? And then what's the quality of Pisces season that's ending the winter and kind of dispersing all of the frozen energy? And so often with the newsletter, I offer tarot card spreads as part of rituals or as a way to kind of ask, what does this season hold for me? What is the lesson I'm meant to learn? And so today I thought it might be useful for all of your listeners to think about the month of March and what is the lesson of this month that has some pretty kind of far out astrological influences happening.
For this particular March 2019.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Let's delve into it. I always think of March, you know, that expression what we're taught when we're little of like, in like a lion, out like a lamb, you know, like that March lion. Yeah. So I always feel like March is a really powerful month because it has always, I've always had that associated imagery.
Yeah, that's great. It's so interesting. The things that have survived from pagan times that, you know, do help us kind of make sense of the world that we don't necessarily attribute to ancient Rome, but, you know, there it is. So this month, Mercury, the planet that rules communication and travel and technology, is stationing retrograde on the 5th.
Okay. So that was just a few days ago.
Yep. And so people probably have already started feeling it. They're probably aware that something might be a little amiss. Yeah.
So this idea, and people often feel the shadow of the retrograde too, a little bit before and a little bit after.
Yep.
So when we say that something is a little amiss with specifically Mercury in retrograde, because all the planets go in retrograde occasionally, what is it about Mercury in retrograde that really has that pop culture buzz that, you know, we throw that term around? Yep. Quite frequently. So what is Mercury in retrograde, just quickly?
Sure, yeah. Why does Taylor Swift tweet about it?
Yeah.
Great question.
We want to know.
Yeah. Because Mercury goes retrograde most frequently 3 times a year, for the shortest amount of time, for about 3 weeks every time. But we live in a world where we're really dependent upon communication and travel and technology to live our lives efficiently. And, you know, we have so much, at least, you know, many people, especially in the West, we have just so much access to being able to move about the world and to communicate with people all over the world in ways, although I have traveled to many places in the global South where people are also very, very connected technologically. But, you know, in the West, there's this really big obsession with time and people adhering to strict time schedules. There's not as much fluidity.
Right. It's not as many like natural rhythms. It's the 60 minutes on the clock and the
exactly.
calendar.
And, yeah. Punching in and out.
Yeah. no thanks.
Yeah. Agree. So when Mercury goes retrograde, it can cause all kinds of snafus. Travel is delayed, luggage is lost, and emails don't ever arrive that you send. You lose things. And it just is the kind of stuff that can be little but make a big difference. And so people get very panicked because they're like, oh my goodness, you know, what's going to happen to me? Like what crucial element of my life is going to be messed with that's going to cause me a lot of like stress? Or for example, I used to tell my clients, you know, Mercury retrograde, it's not like you're going to break your computer every time. And then I dropped my computer on the ground and shattered the screen during a Mercury retrograde. And I kind of felt like Mercury was saying to me, it's not like you're going to do it every time.
but maybe just this time.
Yeah.
And in a few years from now.
Maybe you just want to have a little bit of a healthy, you know, respect for what I can do. And I was like, yes, yes, thank you. I will.
Thank you for that gentle, not so gentle reminder.
Yeah. So I thought it would be fun. I'm actually going to be introducing a tarot spread for the month into my monthly newsletter.
Exciting.
Yeah. Thank you. Which comes out usually at the end of the previous month or right at the beginning of each month. And so I thought it would be really fun for you and your listeners to offer a little monthly tarot reading for the collective. I love to do readings for the collective. They work just as well. And I think we can talk about why and how tarot works if we want later. But I'm happy to share with you what the cards say is a good way to kind of work with and meet the energy of this month, because Mercury is in Pisces, which is like the ocean. So imagine you drop a penny into the ocean.
It's going to be hard to find.
Hard to find that coin.
Yeah.
Yes. And Mercury is under the influence of Neptune, which is the planet of fantasy and illusion and deception and a little bit like drugs.
So we're in the ocean. So we're in this vast, powerful element.
Yep.
And then we're in a space of illusion as well, and dealing with communication.
Exactly. We're under the influence in a place where it's really just like you can't actually really have your footing. All you can really have is the ability to like float and maybe sink or swim. And so, you know, what can we ground into when life doesn't offer us firm footing, you know, and we can always ground into the divine. We can always ground into our connection with something higher and unchanging outside of ourselves. And, you know, what's unchanging is the love of the divine that's always available to us. So if we are conscious beings and we can see, okay, it looks like this experience could be very challenging, then we know, okay, I'm going to just seek a little bit of extra outside resources and support.
Yeah, exactly. Just using this work as an awareness, as a moment in, okay, well, we know that all these factors are coming into play over the next 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So, or 6 weeks from the 5th, you said Mercury in retrograde. What day did you say Mercury in retrograde started?
March 5th, but Mercury, you know, was already in Pisces for a while. So we were already feeling befuddled.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We were already feeling those feelings.
In February. And then Mercury got all the way to almost to the end of Pisces and then stationed retrograde and then moved all the way, is going to move all the way back and then won't turn direct until the 28th, but then is going to have to like make their way out of Pisces again past the influence of Neptune. So I'm giving the whole experience more like a 6 or 8 week range in terms of like how you're feeling it, just because I was already counting some of the time that we've already been through.
Okay. That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. And I was saying to folks that, you know, expect to start feeling a little bit less woozy or confused by the end of April, like mid to late April. So that's a while.
That's a long time to feel confused and unsure. And I mean, I feel like the times in my life where I've either gone through some kind of personal change, whether it was career or leaving a relationship or just general, like, who am I? You know, those kind of really big transitional moments in my life. Those are the hardest times to not be confident and sure and directionless. And that's the time where it's just like, oh my gosh, like so much of my identity is wrapped up in this thing. And who am I?
Yeah.
And that's really, really, really hard.
Yes, it is. And it's interesting you use the phrasing, who am I? Because we're going to be experiencing the vernal equinox through all of this. And, you know, Aries initiates the zodiac, and that's really the question of the sign of the ram, you know, is who am I? Aries bursts forward with this kind of like song of like me, 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 and initiates life again. But part of that is like, well, why are we here? Like, what did we come to do? So
I love this.
Yeah.
So we are just about getting started with our tarot reading for March. Yeah. And this is going to help us with the Mercury in retrograde, as well as kind of coming into springtime. Mm-hmm. So Laura, I'm going to let you take the lead on this.
All right.
What have we got here? I see you've drawn four cards. Mm-hmm. From which deck?
I use the Toth deck.
Okay.
Yeah, the Lady Frieda Harris deck. So this is really interesting. So a lot of people like a three-card tarot spread. That's traditionally past, present, and future. I myself, maybe it's my double Scorpio energy. Ha ha. I like past, present, challenge, future. Because you know what? There's always something we can learn. And really, that's kind of the point of all this.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
I like to get, I like to give that its own
card. Recognition, mm-hmm. its own space to explore.
So I use four card spreads a lot. So the first card is the past, and that's the Ace of Cups. And so for those who aren't super familiar with tarot, aces initiate each suit. And they contain the energy of that element. So it's aces about possibility. And the Ace of Cups is just this really beautiful card in this deck. It's like this explosion. I'll show it to you, Caroline. This just cup that's like very gorgeous and vaginal and just like running over.
It almost looks like there's a spider web on top and kind of an ooey, mm-hmm. ooey gooey, yeah. juicy bottom, mm-hmm. and a cup in the middle that's just, it's got like a light beam right on the top.
Yes.
It's very cool.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. And there's this lotus representing, you know, our heart and the inner peace that comes from feeling connected to the Divine Mother who lives in our hearts. And, you know, if we think about the goddess as she who provides everything. You know, the goddess really loves to dance. And we can think about the way that our feelings kind of just like move through time and space. And, you know, you can feel so much love for people, whether they're in this earthly plane or not. And just how when we open to love, it just causes so much more love. It ripples out into all areas. Mm-hmm. So Ace of Cups, the important thing to know about Pisces is that it's a very healing sign. It is really about all of the wisdom that is available to us from all of the trials and tribulations and struggles of life. So, and it's very psychic and it's very empathic and it's very intuitive. And if you think about, you know, Pisces is represented by two fishes and, you know, it's the only water sign that doesn't have a barrier protecting it.
Mm.
Cancer, the crab, you know, it's got its home on its back. It can just withdraw and retreat anytime it wants. And then Scorpio is like, I'm a hideaway and like, you'll never see me. And then I'll pounce and I'll sting you, you know? Right. And then you've got Pisces, the beautiful little fishes that are just like swimming in the ocean and they are riding the waves and the currents and they're really affected by everything. They don't have armor on and they're just really like little permeable membranes. So I think that this card is really, it's the first card and it's reminding us, and it's the past because Mercury, you know, entered Pisces before the retrograde happened. Mm-hmm. So it's reminding us that actually we've already kind of, if we think about Mercury as the mind and Pisces as more of the emotions, we've already been having this kind of synthesis that comes when we align our mind and our hearts. So there's always gifts to the challenges. And so this is a really beautiful reminder that maybe if we stop taking certain things so seriously, our hearts can open to greater loving.
Okay.
So that is the past. The present is a little bit less touchy-feely.
Sure. to put it mildly.
Yes, it's the Five of Wands, and it's called strife. It's representing Saturn in Leo. I use cards with an astrological component. And so Saturn is called...
Well, tell us a little bit about what this card looks like. Yeah. Because you said it's a little less friendly.
Yeah, I sure will. Good. Yeah. So this card has a really beautiful, bright yellow background. There's like this gorgeous fire that's emanating out of the middle. And then there's two wands that are crossing each other on each side to make four wands. And then right down the middle is this like gigantic, heavy, big, thick wand that has Saturn.
Okay.
On it.
Yeah.
So Saturn is called the Lord of Karma or the Lord of Time. And
that's a great title.
I know, right? Don't mess with me. I mess with you. And so Saturn is in this card kind of blocking the light. And if we think about the fact that a lot of us, Saturn can represent fathers or the past or kind of the things that we drag around that hold us down, that weigh us down. And so if we think about, okay, what is it from the past? Like what are the past actions that are really blocking us from allowing our spirit to pour forth as brightly as it could, such as with this card where the bright sunlight is being blocked. And, you know, Saturn corresponds to lead. And so this is kind of like a lead pipe that's on top of these other smaller wands that, you know, if you just removed that big lead heavy obstruction, the other wands could just easily fall away. They're not really blocking things as much as this central fifth wand. So really this is letting us know that whenever our heart opens, it calls into being anything that is standing in the way of full loving. And so often when people are like, I was doing so well and then something challenging happened and they feel like they've done something wrong. They feel like, oh, I was really good and then this thing came up. And, you know, especially if it's something from the past, they get so discouraged. They're like, I thought I was making progress.
Yeah.
And that's such a reasonable response. But the answer is, A, there's nowhere to go. You know, there's no arriving. There's not like the part where we just like figure it all out and we're healed and then we say done, right?
Right.
The end is the final breath. And right. So we just...
That's death for anyone who didn't get that poetic reference.
I had to bring the double Scorpio. and so we're always going to be... digging deeper. Anytime we're seeking to do spiritual work, we're going to be going deeper into healing of our old stuff and our past stuff, and in order to have a more full and open loving heart. So this is letting us know that presently you might be feeling it. You might be like, oh my goodness, here's that stuff again. I don't want to deal with it. But really this is an invitation to just let it dissolve a little. Because what's easier? Trying to get, you know, 50 people to like wrench a lead pipe off of something, or just maybe to like put it in a bucket of some healing Pisces water and just see if it can like kind of dissolve on its own over time.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
I would also love 50 people trying to wrench
your karma off you.
Yeah, that would also be great.
I think that could really feel like a huge relief, and it might be really dramatic. It might be a shock to the system, you know? Some people can handle that, some people can't. Mm. So, I like to go for intensity with my healings.
Yeah, me too.
But yeah, but I think that for a lot of us, it's actually the slow and subtle changes that really are best for us, even though it can feel so challenging to be in the process of just, you know, allowing things to unfold as it will.
Yeah.
So that's the present moment. If you're feeling a little frustrated by the things that have already started to maybe not go the way you would like, just see if those annoyances are being triggered by like older or deeper stuff, and try to like follow those breadcrumbs and see how this is like an invitation for you to go deeper with your healing.
Okay. And this can be in any, because this is a collective reading, mm-hmm. when we're listening to this, when we're talking about this, when we say collective, what do you mean by a collective reading? Like who is the collective? Who is this for?
Anyone who listens. Okay. So the cards know what the people who are going to listen to this need to hear.
Okay.
Because the divine knows everything. And that's why it's really beautiful, because tarot works with archetypes. And there's so many different manifestations of each individual archetype. And so this will manifest for people in so many different ways. And it'll be fascinating. And if folks want to like find me on Instagram or Facebook or whatever and let me know how it manifests for you, I love to hear that stuff. That's like my favorite thing.
And your Insta is the Wednesday Witch?
Yep, you can search that. Or it's laracampagna.astrology.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And so it's really easy when you're running late and then there's suddenly a huge traffic jam to curse the person that caused the jam, rather than to ask, why do I never leave the house on time?
Well, that would be asking a lot.
Why do I never give myself a few extra minutes?
Why?
Why couldn't I just bring a book and chill? Is getting
why didn't
there
I
early?
Download my Tony Robbins
yeah.
downloads ahead of time?
Yeah. Of course. Is getting there early truly so repugnant? So those kind of little annoyances that cause us to start feeling frustrated about how other people are living their lives, that are really asking us to look at the old ingrained patterns that maybe aren't serving us anymore.
Okay.
So that's the current moment.
We are currently doing a March tarot spread to help us understand as well as remedy the current Mercury in retrograde. Mm-hmm. And so we're kind of exploring what this means for Pisces, for, you know, that this time that we're in, which is kind of like birthday season, you know? So if you know, like, Pisces, friends or coworkers, like this is the essence of, you know, their sun sign. Yeah. And kind of what that means with retrograde and the communication that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. So it's kind of stirring up a lot that we have within those two domains.
Absolutely.
So let's carry on with what's going on. Do you want to give us a quick recap?
Yep.
Just what the past and the present cards were all about?
Yep. For those just tuning in, this tarot spread for March, the past card was the Ace of Cups, the element water. The present card was the Five of Wands and the element fire. And we come to the challenge card, which is the Four of Discs, the element of earth power. And this is actually Sun in Capricorn. So it's really interesting because we had a pretty intense Capricorn season in January. And when we think about Capricorn, this is really all about building a solid foundation. So as we discussed, the Mercury retrograde can feel slippery, can feel tricky, can feel like a little disorienting. And so the challenge is really just to root into your home and root into the safe places that you know ground you. And when we talk about being grounded, that looks really different for every single person. But what we're really talking about is how do you feel safe in your body? What causes you to feel anchored to the earth in a loving, connected way? So
that's a great question. I mean, thinking about that, even for myself, I'm like, what causes me to feel anchored in my body and to the earth?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, like hugging trees, totally. Being outside.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's currently what's getting me through the winter.
That's beautiful. I love that. And I encourage, I think that being out in nature is really grounding. Even when we can't take our shoes off and feel the earth, we feel the earth so strongly just, you know, walking, not in a city or not on, you know, just on a path in the forest, really anywhere you can. And so this card is also calling us into having really good boundaries. So that's the other thing that happens with Pisces is Pisces is about oneness. It's about merging. It's about there's no differentiation between me and you because we're all part of the human family and we all come from God. We're all emanations of God. And isn't it beautiful? And shouldn't we just like, oh, all be together in a big hug?
In one big school of fish.
Yes. And it feels so good. But actually, you know, it can lead to the really complicated dynamics like codependency and, you know, caretaking people who aren't actually able to take care of themselves, who aren't able to take responsibility for themselves. And so Pisces can try to do what for other people with they're capable of doing for themselves. And because they have like a loving heart and a healing nature, an instinct, but in doing so, they actually inadvertently disempower people and create these dynamics that don't actually work for anyone. So Capricorn has the remedy of really just focusing on oneself. Capricorn is represented by the sea goat. So we do have some water element there, but the goat is really climbing the mountain alone, on the spiritual journey alone. And that's what it takes to get through winter, is that knowledge that within each of us is the fortitude, is the strength, is the determination to climb any mountain that we choose, because we all came here with a purpose. And Capricorn, Saturn, the ruler of Capricorn, wants us to climb the right mountain, the one that we're meant to climb. So in order to do that, we have to feel grounded to the earth, and we have to have strong boundaries where we're clear about what we need in order to show up well. So again, if you know that it's going to really upset you if you are late for something and it's Mercury retrograde season, a great idea is just to leave the house early. And if somebody, you know, that you live with wants to stop you on your way out the door and have a really long conversation about something they need, that's a great opportunity to practice having these Saturnian boundaries and being like, oh, I would love to talk to you about this. Can I call you from the car? Can we talk later face to face? You know, and just remembering to put your needs and priorities and mental health first, so then you can show up as your best self for other people.
Absolutely. I like that a lot.
Cool. And so that is our challenge. No big deal. I know boundaries. Healthy boundaries.
All right, cool. So in the challenge of being really, really open and flowing and fluid and kind of part of this dynamic, we're trying to maintain some or create boundaries within that. in some way.
To yes, exactly. Well, we're in this beautiful healing Pisces ocean of perhaps psychedelic visions and dreams that can feel so far out that we maintain a tether to reality. And whoever will ground you, whoever is going to give you the real talk when you're like, I just got this great idea. I'm going to move to Bali. You know,
and it's like the words, my words like are just coming out of your mouth right now.
I mean, it sounds like a great idea, but, you know, wait until the Pisces season has passed and the retrograde is soon far over before you actually liquidate your assets and buy the ticket. Talk to your friend. That will keep you, you know, tethered.
Yes.
Whoever that is for you.
It might be you.
Could be your own self.
Yeah.
And then the final card for March is the Knight of Wands and the element of fire. So the Knight of Wands, I think, is, and this is the future card. So this is really about moving into Aries season and the wheel of the year turning again to spring.
Can you tell us a little bit? Can you describe what this card looks like?
Absolutely. So this is a knight. He is a warrior. He's on a horse. There is a giant mountain that kind of looks like it's on fire, made of fire behind him. And he has a blazing torch.
That's a powerful card.
It's a powerful card. There's powerful divine masculine energy behind it. And when I talk about the divine masculine and feminine, I always just want to be really clear that I'm never, I don't attribute those energies particularly to any gender. They're energies and qualities that exist within all human beings, and we all manifest them really differently and beautifully and uniquely. And so this Knight of Wands is really about having gone through this kind of disorienting, confusing experience of the Mercury retrograde, then allowing yourself to really be reborn in these beautiful Pisces healing waters, and then you burst into the spring ready to start again.
We're ready. We will be at that point.
Yeah. And to initiate and to go on that journey. So maybe while you were in your retrograde time, you were like, hey, I want to do this really far out thing. And you wait and you let yourself kind of marinate in it. But if that's what your heart is really singing for, you know, at the end, then you let it out and you let yourself go.
Time-wise, would that be like the end of March, or is that at the end of Mercury in retrograde, like
good question,
closer towards April?
Yeah. So basically, the sun ingresses into Aries on March 20th. We also have a full moon that night, and it's the pagan holiday of the vernal equinox of initiating the spring. And so we, you know, we'll still have some time left in the Mercury retrograde. We'll still have at least a week left, but
Laura's currently looking at her astral calendar for dates and things like that, so she can kind of give us a little bit more of a picture precise of how the planetary movements and things that are happening. So just to give people an understanding of of, you know, how she's,
there's a lot going on this one day. So on the 20th
of March
the sun enters Aries. It initiates the spring. It's also the vernal equinox, the pagan holiday of Ostara, and then we also have the Libra full moon on March 20th. So it's going to be a powerful day. So to me, that's what this this card is representing, is, okay, we blaze forward, and we allow our light to shine. The light that in the second card was being obscured by Saturn, if we have, you know, started to work constructively with this energy, then we will have dissolved some of those barriers to us being able to really shine our light. And one of the reasons people really focus on the sun in astrology is because that's where you came to shine.
I like that.
Yeah. And the sun is exalted in Aries. So the sun likes to shine there.
Yeah. Cool. So this is really going to be that Aries, that fire, that kind of bursting out is like March 20th and forward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think it could feel differently. I mean, we'll still, like I said, have another month of some of the like Pisces, you know, Mercury stationing direct on the 28th and then not actually leaving Pisces until I believe April 18th. So we're still going to have almost another month of that Pisces energy, but we're going to start to have more dynamic fire in the mix.
That sounds great. That sounds really, really good. So
melt away the winter blues.
Yeah, with some fire, some Aries fire.
Mm-hmm. Healthy ego.
Oh, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So if anyone has questions, of course, you can reach Laura Campagna directly. You can check out her Instagram. You know, so there's a lot. And also I put all my episodes up on my website on ReikiNorthampton.com/radio-archives. So you guys can all go back and listen to this if you want to listen a little bit more closely. We covered a lot of information for what, how to kind of deal with a lot of these March energies. So please do go back and listen to this because I think that there's a lot of pieces of that puzzle. And because this is a collective reading, there's going to be something in there for you.
Yeah.
With whatever kind of questions that you're navigating. So we're gonna shift a little bit now. So I know you teach a lot of workshops as well, and a big focus of your work with your workshops is how to get off the book for tarot. Can you tell us a little bit about why you focus your classes and your tarot workshops on bringing the intuition in?
Yeah, thanks for that question. It's such a great question. So I practiced tarot for a very, very, very long time before I met a teacher who taught me to read intuitively. And literally all she had to do was sit in front of me and do it once. And I could do it.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I had, when I say
it's
practice.
It's just like she pressed a button and was like, or just flipped a switch for you.
She just modeled it. Wow. You know, a lot of us intuitives, all we need is someone to model.
Mm.
You know, you don't even have to use words.
Yeah.
Get the message. Mm. So before that, I read for a long time and I knew decades, over a decade. And I knew that the cards really well, but I wouldn't let myself trust myself. And being able to trust myself has opened this door to really being in relationship with the cards. I feel that the cards are my best friends, that I have this really beautiful relationship with them. They're there for me every day. Every morning I talk to them. It's part of my morning ritual.
That's sweet.
So in the workshops that I lead, I am an energy healer, so I do some energetic zhuzhing of people's third eye.
Yeah.
I put a little magic in there.
Cool.
Yeah, it's fun. The last workshop, this woman's like, I saw these colors. So I was like, oh yeah, that was your third eye turning on.
Yes.
Open it more.
That's fun.
I know, so fun. And then
visual light show.
I know, so cool. And I just lead people through different processes of getting in touch with the cards they already have and learning to look and to see and to connect to their own way of being intuitive, because we all sense differently. Some of us are clairaudient, some of us are clairsentient. So just looking at how people, you know, do you hear things? Do you feel them? And then I don't read inverted cards, because the meaning of all of the cards is always there. And it's really just what comes out that is what's relevant for that reading. Okay. And it's amazing. Even just looking at this Knight of Wands, I saw something that I haven't seen, it felt like, ever before.
Wow.
I know. I've seen this card so many times. So it's just such an incredible relationship to be with the cards and be working intuitively with them. And so in Boston, and then eventually also more frequently out here, I'll be offering tarot workshops for those who want to deepen their practice, want to get off the book, want to have some energetic support and fun play space around third eye and intuition. And the next one will be in April in Boston.
And, you know, if you get a few of your friends together, 4 or 5 or 10 of your friends who want to come together and practice their tarot skills and learn a little bit more of having this model to explore your own intuition, you know, reach out. And I'm always trying to lure Laura out here as frequently as possible. So, you know, it's sometimes you can create your own space to have a learning environment where you know the people there and you don't feel as exposed. Sometimes that can be bring a lot of safety. I mean, we can learn a lot from strangers, but sometimes we want that safety too.
Yeah, thank you. That's such a fun reminder. I do private parties, and it's so cool when people get together and just have a night of magic.
Yes.
It's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
The way it always was.
You can throw some, you know, some energy healing into that, do some workshops. You guys can you know, communicate and, you know, create something really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very neat. So what is your favorite? I always like to ask anyone who does intuitive work, what is your favorite method for grounding?
Ooh.
Or your current favorite, I should say, because it always changes.
Great question. I actually have started doing offering on my YouTube channel Wicca 101 grounding into Gaia videos.
Ooh.
So yeah, that's a great question. I literally have been answering it because I have a lot of clients who say, you know, what do you do? How do you practice? And I just wanted to start sharing my knowledge. And it's different depending on if I'm in an outdoor space or indoor, but I have two different videos that are up on this subject. So if folks are interested, I recommend checking out my YouTube videos and I'll walk you through the whole thing.
And what's your YouTube channel called?
It's The Wednesday Witch.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
That's easy. It's very easy to remember.
That's a great question. I love it.
So wait, you're not going to tell us?
I will tell you. it is that when I go into nature, I really set an intention. I request permission to be in the space, and I drop my intention down into the center of the earth, the heart of the earth, which is our mother. And I visualize this really beautiful healing energy, this Shakti, as a beam of light or a cord going up into the center of my spine. So I do more of like a grounding cord ritual, and then the energy fills up my whole body.
I like that. And
yeah, it's pretty nice.
That's
I used to do it when I had a day job, a desk job, and I'd be like, I'm not gonna make it through without more coffee.
Yeah.
Or I could ground into Gaia.
Right. We can either choose to have that artificial stimulant, and which actually ironically suppresses a lot of our natural energy.
Yep.
Or we can choose to tap into these like bigger energies, this earth energy, the divine, the source, however you kind of want to think of it, you know. That's really, really cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And I'm really excited to kind of put some of this stuff into action. So we're going to close out now. If you're just tuning in, you've been listening to Energy Matters. And definitely go back and check out the ReikiNorthampton.com/radio. And you can find this episode and all my past episodes uploaded online. So all right, guys, we'll have a great evening and be well.